Welcome to the Sportscast, July 9th, 2019. If you haven't yet, please subscribe at all our channels, YouTube, Periscope, iTunes. And if you're in iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. And visit us on thesportscast.net. NBA free agency made headlines this past Saturday. It shocked the world when Kawhi Leonard joined the LA Clippers and Paul George joined via a trade. Are the Clippers the best team in the NBA? Is the playing field leveled? We got our correspondent, Kailu Borden, on the line, waiting to talk to us about it. Welcome back, Kailu. What a weekend.
Welcome. Crazy.
Of course, Saturday night, Saturday morning, everyone was saying Lakers or Clippers. Even Chris Broussard, the insider, was saying it was either going to be the Lakers or the Clippers. You're a Lakers fan. You were waiting him. You were going to, you know, welcome him with open arms. What were your thoughts?
I thought it was good for the Clippers, actually. Obviously, I want him to be a Laker, but I thought it was good for the balance of the power. Obviously, people were talking about it. I thought it was good for the balance of power. Now you have like 8 or 9 teams that can win. You have this. You have the Philadelphia 76ers. You have the Bucks. You have Utah. You have Denver. You have the Clippers. You have the Lakers. So I thought it was great for the league. I also obviously want him to be a Laker just to stack it all up. But I felt like it was great for the league. Now you have more competitive balance. In the last couple of years, people were complaining about Golden State's dominance. Now you have 8 or 9 teams that could legit win the title. So I think it's great for the league, from a league standpoint. Obviously, we had this super team last year in Golden State. They obviously got hurt, which is very unfortunate. But I feel like it's great for the league as a whole.
Now, what happened was Jerry West, the logo that they call him, he made some moves. I heard that Kawhi called Clippers, hey, if you get Paul George, I'm in. I'm down. How significant is that, like Paul George joining the Clippers?
I think it's hugely significant because I don't think that they would have been able to get Kawhi without getting Paul George because obviously he wanted that second superstar. You know, in the NBA, it's more important that you have that second superstar. Nobody's going to win by themselves, even as great as he is. No one's going to win by himself. But I think from the Clippers standpoint, it's great because you still have Patrick Beverley. You still have all these role players that you had last year. So I think it's great for them. For Oklahoma City, I think this knows that they are rebuilding back-to-back first-round exits. The bigger takeaway is that they might, we're going to get into it probably later, but they're going to think about trading Russell Westbrook. So I think for OKC, it signals a rebuild, and for the Clippers, it signals, you know, title favorites or going to be in the hunt, which they definitely be.
Which this shock about Paul George moving to LA hasn't been much of a surprise because we've been hearing that rumor for the past couple years, especially a year back. He resigned with the OKC. He's been there for 2 seasons, was there for 2 seasons. So this whole story of him going to LA isn't a surprise to you, right?
No, it's not a surprise. It's more that 2 years in his contract that he built. I obviously thought he would go to LA last year, but when he signed with Oklahoma City, I was surprised that this happened because I thought he was going to stay there for the whole, you know, duration of his contract. So I obviously knew he was always interested in LA, but I always thought that he would go to LA prior. And I thought once he signed, like, he was going to be Oklahoma City and maybe resign with them. So I was a little surprised that it was Paul George. At first, when I saw it, like, from Woj, I thought it was fake. And then, you know, Shams put it into to confirm it. And then I was just surprised that, you know, the deal was able to get done so fast.
Yeah, something that everyone has been talking about since was Russell Westbrook has been approached. His agent approached to the, you know, Thunder about the future of his career in OKC, and of course rumors are circulating that he's open for a trade. And of course, one of the rumors, three teams that I've been hearing a lot is Houston, Detroit, and Miami. Which of those teams do you think would be a good fit for Russell Westbrook?
I think in Miami, it would be a terrible fit. Jimmy Butler wants the ball. I think you could have a team where it's first or second or exit. I think it would be a terrible fit in Miami because Jimmy Butler wants the ball, and that's why he left the situation with the Sixers and Minnesota. I think the most likely fit is Detroit with Blake Griffin. Obviously, they're guard and forward. It's not a perfect fit. But in Detroit, they have a new arena. They're trying to sell tickets. I think in Detroit, the ceiling, if they run to the right opponent, they could win a round or two. Obviously, you know, with Russell Westbrook, you're not going to win a championship with him as a number one option. I think that the best fit is in Detroit. I don't like Miami, and I also don't like the Knicks. You got RJ Barrett. Are you going to try to stunt his growth just to try to be a first or second round team and try to be relevant? You also got Mitchell Robinson, Kevin Knox needs the ball. You have young players. I don't necessarily think that those two options, Miami and Knicks, I rank Detroit as about the only option for Russell Westbrook.
Russell Westbrook is 30 years old, has a big contract that OKC wants to let go. I believe the other teams have leverage. Obviously, if Miami does trade for his contract, they don't have to give up too much. I heard just, you know, maybe just one star like Winslow. But I do agree with that. I've been hearing these past couple of days that Detroit will be a good fit. Not a perfect fit. You know, there's no perfect situation. But obviously, you know, this Westbrook news is coming a little bit later in agency. No teams have planned for this. And, of course, you know, Paul George decided this, like, last week. I was hearing from a Thursday. So we'll see what happens. I do think Detroit would be a good fit. That would be that, man, wherever he goes, it would be like the playing field is leveled. How about Houston? Do you think Houston would be a good fit?
I don't think Houston would be a good fit. Him and James Harden together. I mean, I think that would be worse than Chris Paul and James Harden. I think you have two ball dominant guards who both need the ball. I think you see a lot of clashes. Mike D'Antoni's entering his final year as a coach. Daryl Morey is one of the most progressive general managers in the league. Analytically, he likes to shoot threes. Obviously, they brought in Melo. That didn't work. So I don't know how Russell Westbrook will quite fit in with their three-point shooting. And I don't think Mike D'Antoni is sharp enough as a coach to be able to implement Russell Westbrook. Considering the system, Russell Westbrook is not a good catch-and-shoot three-point shooter. And he's not a good three-point shooter at all. He doesn't really take good shots. Mike D'Antoni wants you to shoot threes. And Russell Westbrook's a mid-range player. And there's, you know, there's always stuff for diversity. But Mike D'Antoni doesn't strike me as a coach that's going to be willing to adapt to Russell Westbrook's game. And I also don't think that they can make that work contract unless they trade Chris Paul. And I don't think that Oklahoma City would be wanting Chris Paul considering they're going to be entering a rebuild.
Let's get back to Los Angeles. The Lakers got Boogie Cousins over the weekend, Quinn Cook and Jared Dudley, and a few other stars. How do you see this Laker roster so far?
I think it's better than I originally thought, considering that we struck out on Kawhi. I think it has a lot of combust with Rondo and DeMarcus. But I like Danny Green. I think it's a 2-year, $30 million deal. I like Danny Green shooting. I think Avery Bradley's not the defender he once was, but that's another defender. I think Kuzma needs to improve on defense because I think the Lakers could potentially have a lot of problems at the three, defending opposing threes because LeBron's not going to defend until like high leverage points. I think Kuzma has to get better as a defender. There were even talks about LeBron starting at point guard. He's always been a de facto point guard. I think there's more questions about the Lakers. Who's going to guard opposing point guards and who's going to guard opposing small forwards? Those are the two biggest questions I have right now. Obviously, there's still a lot of time between now and training camp. I think our interior defense is fine with JaVale McGee and Anthony Davis. I like DeMarcus Cousins on a veteran minimum as long as he's willing to come off the bench and comply and adhere to his role. So I don't have a problem with DeMarcus Cousins as long as he's willing to adhere to his role.
Danny Green, everyone thought he will tag along with Kawhi somewhere, but he eventually went to the Lakers. How much of an impact will he bring to the Lakers?
I think he's going to bring a great impact to the Lakers because the Lakers shot 34% overall from three. So I think that we obviously had a shortage in shooters. I say we didn't have a lot of shooters. We had Lonzo, Brent Ingram. They weren't shooters. So I think Danny Green is going to bring a huge impact to the Lakers because we're in an era where you need more shooters. So I think Danny Green could bring a lot of value to the Lakers. Also, he can defend, which the Lakers didn't have a lot of defense last year. So I think that Danny Green, his combination of his shooting and his defense will go a long way to, you know, helping the Lakers out.
Now, with this roster, there's been talk or criticism that there's a lot of big personalities in this roster. And can they mesh? Can they work together? And, you know, can Luke Vogel handle it? What are your thoughts about that?
I think Frank Vogel could definitely handle it. I think it's going to be a huge test. I think, obviously, he's coached some of these guys in Indiana. So I think Frank Vogel can handle it. He's going to have to come in. Jason Kidd's going to be a lion. Hall's going to be. So I think as a coaching staff, it's to be determined if he can handle it because nothing really started. And obviously, you're in the honeymoon phase, like any coach in the first couple months. basically most of the time everybody's going to like you in the beginning. So I think a lot of it's going to be determined by in training camp of guys like him. When that first 3-game losing streak or 4-game losing streak happened on the road, overall, how do guys respond? Do they still say the right things? Do they use we, or do they start using I? And that's going to be a huge determination if this works. How do they handle the 3-game losing streak as a team?
If you could rank the Western Conference teams from first, let's say like the top 8, where would you see them right now?
Where would I see them right now? I don't really have a top 8 because, like, there's still a lot of time left. But, like, my overall list would be, like, the Lakers, the Clippers. This is not in order, but, like, the Lakers, Clippers, Utah, Denver will all, like, be among those, like, 4 teams. Not really in order necessarily because, I don't really know because, like, there's still a lot can change. So I think definitely Denver, I could see Denver. Denver could be a number 1 seed. The Lakers can definitely be in that conversation. I think all 4 of those teams could definitely be in the top 4. I think, you know, the Rockets, I think they're going to take a step back. I definitely could see all of those teams, you know, definitely competing for that 1, 2, or 3 seed. So I definitely see that.
Some people are saying the Clippers are right now the best team in the NBA. Would you agree with that?
I disagree. I actually think the Clippers are great, but I think Milwaukee's going to take that next step forward. Last year, they got to the Eastern Conference Finals. They lost 4 straight games. I think Milwaukee's definitely going to take. They were right there. They have a lot of continuity. Obviously, they lost Malcolm Brogdon, but Chris Middleton's back. They still have Brook Lopez. So I think that they're going to be right there. Continuity is very important. I think Denver's going to be in that conversation. I think the Clippers are very good, but I think, you know, the continuity. Kawhi Leonard's going to be on that workload management again this year. So I think that, you know, some of those games, I think, you know, obviously East is a little easier. So I think Milwaukee's going to be right there. I think there's a lot of teams in the conversation.
In the East, who are your top teams?
I think my top teams in the East is Milwaukee. I think the Sixers. I also think the Pacers are going to take that next step because Victor Oladipo is going to be returning next year. Obviously, the Brooklyn Nets are going to be in that conversation. And then from there, it's you know, the Celtics. And then after that, it's wide open. I think the East is wide open. Obviously, the Heat's going to be in play, adding Jimmy Butler. I think from there, it's wide open. The Magic, the Pistons, I think it's going to be wide open. And from that group, I think it's going to be wide open.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. It feels like you were saying right in the beginning of the show that the playing field's leveled. There's no super team anymore. You know, each team has 2 big superstars and, you know, maybe some good role players, but it's all leveled out. Back to the Warriors. How do you see them now? I mean, are they still in the top 4 in the West? Like, what do you think about them at their current state?
I don't think they're a top 4 team. I obviously like the addition of D'Angelo Russell. I think it's great. But like I told you, like I, you know, texted you this. I think that D'Angelo Russell is great, but like I think that him and Curry might struggle defensively. You're not going to be able to hide Curry defensively. And I also think Golden State's small. They lost Quinn Cook. They lost DeMarcus Cousins. Even though you have Draymond Green, he tends like to play like a big player. I think he's going to be close to 30, so that's going to start to wear down defending bigger players. He's going to have to defend Anthony Davis this year. You know, Portland, you know, has a team this year. I feel like he's going to have to defend bigger players. You obviously got the Clippers. You're still going to have the Jazz. You have the Trailblazers. I think that, you know, you have the Nuggets as well. I think Golden State's going to be a solid team. I see them as a 5 or 6, you know, team because Klay's going to be out for a while. Steph, you know, in that team. I think it's good enough to be like 6, 5 or 6, or maybe 7 in the West until they get back Klay.
Yeah, some people are saying that once Klay Thompson gets back, they might normalize a little bit better, but obviously he'll be out till after All-Star break potentially. He had a good surgery in Los Angeles this past weekend, so hopefully he'll come back strong and healthy and everything out. NBA Summer League, we saw some promising stars shine for the first time. What did you think about Zion's performance this past weekend?
I thought Zion's performance was incredible. Obviously, he played that one game. He's been, you know, shut down since. I felt like that play where Zion stole the ball from Kevin Knox, I know it's just summer league, but it shows you, like, why they drafted Zion. You know, I watched him every game at Duke, and I felt like he really, you know, a lot of people talk about the dunks and stuff, But Zion really works hard. He loves the game. So I feel like he played really well. That there was that, you know, where Kevin Knox tipped it. I think that obviously continued to prove his shot. I think that's going to go a long way to, you know, his career. I think he's going to have a good career, but his shot's obviously going to determine if his career is great. But I feel like he really, you know, despite the long layup, he was very solid. So, you know, he did fine.
Also, RJ Barrett had a good performance for the Knicks this past weekend. Of course, it's, you know, summer league, you know, a bunch of rookies playing against each other. And that's something we need to look at. Obviously, there'll be more games just upcoming up. If there's any earthquakes, it might delay the tournament a little bit. There is some old players coming back, potentially. Monte Ellis has been working out, and the Warriors are interested. Do you think he'll be a good pickup if he does get picked up?
I'm not sure what type of shape Monte Ellis is. I'm sure he keeps his, you know, body thing. But Monte Ellis hasn't been in the league for a while, so I don't really know how I like the fit. Obviously, if they're going to bring him in, I would assume it's going to be a partially guaranteed deal. You could get him in, see how he fits, maybe in training camp, you try it out. There's nothing wrong with trying it out. You can try it out. I don't really know how he fits the Warriors, but obviously I would speak on the fact that they can try it out. It doesn't hurt to bring him in training camp, sign him to a partially guaranteed deal, and maybe if it works, you can put him on your roster.
Yeah, that's something that we can look at. Obviously, also Amari Stoudemire is also working out again, trying to join. But I've been hearing Ellis has a very good chance to return. But we'll see. Now that, you know, Golden State needs more shooters, so we'll see what will happen in the next couple of weeks, now also months. But, yeah, this is quite impressive, the whole situation, how Kawhi, you know, was very quiet about, you know, going to the Clippers. I mean, from Friday, what was your hunch feeling?
I thought he was going to the Lakers. Obviously, he held it close to the vest. People said that – I heard that Kawhi Leonard was obviously always interested in the Clippers. He just wanted to make sure they get that second star and have that in place for him. Obviously, I was very surprised when the Paul George thing broke. I thought it was just going to be Kawhi and someone else. I was very shocked that it was Paul George, because those type of trades for those type of players usually take a while. You usually hear about it in the build-up. Obviously, you know, Paul George is a California guy, but I never saw this coming. I never saw it coming. I thought it was not real, like I said, when it happened. But, like, I never really saw it coming. It's a huge win for the Clippers. It's a huge win for Steve Ballmer. They played all year to get Kawhi, and now they finally have him, and now they could potentially make some noise, maybe win the Western Conference Finals, and maybe go on to the Finals and win their first Conference Finals in franchise history. That would be huge for them.
The Nuggets have acquired Jeremy Grant from OKC in exchange for a 2020 first-round pick. How much of an impact will that be in Denver?
I think he can help them off the bench. He's a stretch forward. He can play inside. I like his game. I think he could definitely help Denver with Porter, you know, still having that back injury. Jokic, you still have Jamal Murray, you still have Torrey Craig. I think that he can definitely help them, and I think Denver's all in. They feel like they have a chance to win, and I definitely think Denver should go for it. They're definitely in the conversation with those 8 or 9 teams that could potentially win the finals. I think Denver is definitely a good move for them. They should definitely go for it. They have a young core already, and I think they should definitely go for it.
Something we need to, for sure, definitely look at. OKC is starting to rebuild completely. It's, you know, not a tragedy, you can say, but they tried. You know, they had, you know, 7-9 seasons, you know, with Russell Westbrook, KD, and, of course, the whole Ibaka thing and Harden, you know, and they had something going, something promising. It's just, I don't know, wrong time, you know, situation with the Lakers, and then competing with the Spurs. I mean, had their chances, but obviously, like, they went to the finals against the Heat. But we'll see what happens with OKC. I'm quite interested what happens to Russell Westbrook. It feels like it's so early for him to leave, but he did his best, right?
Yeah, I think it's the right time for him to leave. I don't think it's early. I think he's been there for a long time. Obviously, when Kevin Durant left, he fled his loyalty. And for them to think about, you know, potentially trading him, that's going to ruin the players' trust. It's more of a players' league than ever. So I think it's definitely time for him. He's been with the organization since 2008. So I think it's definitely time for him to move on with the organization, for the Thunder to rebuild. They have Shea. The little guy on there went healthy. He's a good player. A lot of people don't talk about it, but it's just because he doesn't stay healthy. The man doesn't stay healthy. So I think it's, you know, it's going to be time for them to rebuild and for them to get the pieces they can get back for Russell and start something new.
Something new is going to happen next season with the NBA. Teams are leveled, and we'll see what happens. Anyways, we're going towards the end of the show. Anything else before predictions?
No.
Let's go for the Summer League. All we have, Miami versus Orlando.
Go Miami.
Portland versus Utah.
I'll take Portland.
Nuggets versus Celtics.
Celtics.
Knicks versus Toronto.
Knicks.
The Kings versus the Houston Rockets.
I'll take the Kings.
The Kings, which Harrison Barnes went there. So we'll see that. Like the Kings, I guess there might be like a 9 seed. I mean, they have something going on there.
Yeah, for sure. I think they obviously have Marvin Bagley. You have a new coach in Luke Walton. I think De'Aaron Fox is going to make that next jump. I think the Kings could definitely, like you said, be a 9 seed. The Kings are definitely going to be in a hunt. They could be in a playoff race. I don't think they'll get in, but I think they could definitely be in the playoff race.
There is also availability of Bradley Beal potentially going somewhere else. Where do you think he'll be a good fit at?
I think Bradley Beal would definitely be a good fit on a playoff team. I don't know what team like would be willing to offer Bradley Beal because they got to take on his contract and have him looked at. And he'll have to make the money and stuff work and the pieces and have the assets. And obviously the Lakers are out of it. They don't have the assets anymore. And I don't know necessarily which teams you know have enough money in the cap. But definitely a playoff team that needs shooting could definitely use a Bradley Beal. I mean, if the Warriors decided to, for some reason, bail on D'Angelo, maybe Aaron play, who knows? If Clay, you know, can't come back for whatever reason, which I think he would be able to, but for whatever reason the surgery doesn't go, you know, or he's, you know, struggling, he has a setback, maybe they'll be in play, maybe another team will be in play. But I think definitely a playoff team could definitely be in play. The Wizards still, for some reason, don't have a president. So whatever team, you know, playoff team could be in hunt for Bradley.
We'll keep an eye on Bradley Beal and, of course, the NBA free agency. But one of the best free agencies in that we've had for a while. I can't say if it was the best because I have to see what's up. Anyways, Kailu, how can people reach you online to talk to you about the Lakers and Kawhi?
They can reach me at Kailu Borden 12 on Twitter. And they can reach me on Instagram at KailuB123. And a quick note, I wanted to shout out the Women's World Cup team on winning the World Cup. So.
That's right. USA defeated Netherlands 2-0 on Sunday, back-to-back championships. And they might be considered the best women's team ever. So really congrats to them. And next year will be the Olympics, and they'll be competing again. So and obviously, you can watch the MPCL. I forgot the name of the league, but it's a women's league here in the U.S. And I believe ESPN has picked up a few games, so it should be a very exciting time for women's soccer. And hopefully, it'll grow because that's what's needed a little bit more. Because people just watch it every 2 years or every other couple of years, and they need to hopefully grow the sport. So, anyways, visit us on thesportscast.net or on Twitter at thesportscast1. Kailu is following some baseball, which, oh, by the way, what'd you think about the home run derby?
I thought it was great. Obviously, the battle between Jock Peterson and Vladimir Guerrero, 3 overtimes, I thought it was great. It's great for Pete Alonso. I made a joke that the Mets should hang it up in the Raptors because that's the only thing they're going to win with the Pete Alonso trophy. I thought it was great for the game of baseball. You had a lot of young players like Acuna. You had Vlad. Vlad was impressive, hitting moonshots left and right. Pete Alonso, the Mets rookie, winning. We had tons of great, even Matt Chapman did a good job. I felt it was a really good display to show, you know, the young players in baseball, to show the growth, to show the power that's out there. I felt it was great for Pete Alonso. It's great for the sport, great for marketing. Obviously, people loved it. And I just felt it was an overall great display by the young talent in baseball.
And were you able to see the celebrity All-Star game?
No, I wasn't able to catch that, but I felt like overall it was a really good event by Major League Baseball.
Prediction, National League All-Star team versus the American League All-Star team.
I'm rolling with the American League.
And scoreline?
score line, I think you could see a 6-5 tonight.
Sounds good. Major League Baseball game tonight. It's 7:30 p.m. I think they're in St. Louis or Cleveland?
Cleveland.
That's right. The home of LeBron. The Cavalier Yellow. Anyways, thanks a lot for joining us to the Sportscast, Kailu. I'll see you next time.
Thank you.